Despite all of the education programs, news stories, and even personal experiences, drunk driving continues to be a significant danger on our roads. We hear over and over how victims are made and lives are lost simply because someone has no control of themselves. While New Jersey has been a leader in strict drunk driving laws, the organization my first guest represents saw that more could be done, and they led the battle to indeed see that happen. This past week, the New Jersey legislature passed a law expanding mandated ignition locks for people convicted of drunk driving. Hader explained the details as MAD spokesperson, as well as a survivor of a near-fatal accident caused by a drunk driver. Stephen Benvenisti, how are you today, sir?
Good morning, Chris.
Oh, it's great to have you here because this is something I have long said. I always thought that the first offense of a DUI in New Jersey was always light. It was sort of like, okay, you might have made a mistake, had a bad day, didn't know what you're doing. But nevertheless, drunk driving is still drunk driving. So what happened this past week in New Jersey with legislation that's been passed and apparently is going to be signed by Governor Murphy does indeed add weight not just to the first conviction but to all convictions.
You know, you were spot on with regard to your thoughts, and believe it or not, what you were thinking matched what the data showed. States which have agreed to modify their laws to have every convicted drunk driver get this device put in their car. It's called an ignition interlock device, but it's essentially a breathalyzer in the vehicles of drunk drivers so that if they decide to drive drunk, they will not be able to. The data has shown that states that have changed their laws have seen a reduction in fatalities that have been dramatic. Some states have reported a 43% reduction in fatalities just by changing the law. The CDC, AAA, and every traffic safety organization supports this law being changed. And you are absolutely correct. And if the governor signs this bill into law, we are going to start seeing a dramatic reduction in fatalities on the roadways in the state of New Jersey.
This idea, by the way, is an extension of what was called Rickey's Law from January 2010. And since that time, and this was where New Jersey judges could order repeat offenders or first-timers with a BAC of 0.15 or greater, which is almost twice the amount of legal intoxication, to install ignition interlocks. What that has done over time was 87,925 attempts to drive drunk in New Jersey have been prevented. In 2018 alone, 13,500. So obviously, Stephen, this is an idea that works because even in light of a law violation, people continue to slip into stupid mode, as I call it.
Yeah, and Chris, thank you for pointing out that data because you're spot on. And I actually testified in support of Rickey's Law back when it was introduced. And back then, I guaranteed the legislature that if they change the law of New Jersey, and specifically Rickey's Law is what introduced ignition interlock devices to be part of a sentence associated with drunk driving offenses. And sure enough, when Rickey's Law was implemented and when ignition interlock devices were included in the law, which is 39:4-50, fatalities did start to reduce. But that deadly gap in the law of including first offenders is something that's been missing in New Jersey, but 33 other states plus the District of Columbia have filled that gap. And with the move that happened yesterday with the New Jersey legislature, we are that much closer to removing that deadly gap as well.
And you might be thinking, how does this make a difference? Well, in 2017, as most recent numbers we have, 125 people killed by drunk driving in New Jersey. And as we all hear the stories time after time after time in a collision, it's always the innocent target of the drunk driver who gets injured or killed. For whatever reason, the drunk driver always seems to come out of these things almost unscathed, Stephen. It's every possible level of injustice takes place when drunk driving takes place.
And you are so right, and it's so close to my heart because when I was a senior at the College of New Jersey, I was walking with my New Jersey friends, and a repeat offender drunk driver crashed into me as a pedestrian. I was knocked into a coma and broke both of my legs, and my family was called, and they were asked to consent to my organ donation. And it was very, very scary. I remained in a coma for almost 2 weeks in the hospital for about half a year and had 15 surgeries, but my first priority after coming out of the coma and then coming out of the hospital and having a full recovery was to do everything I could to make sure what happened to me doesn't happen to other people. And this law that was passed yesterday is one step closer to our having no more victims in the state of New Jersey.
If you don't look up the details, if you go to the State House website, it's in the Senate S824 and in the State Assembly A2089, and you see the detail. It's You know, as far as legislation goes, Stephen, it's as simple and as basic as you can possibly get. And when you think of how it can reduce not just drunk driving repeat offenders, which is the further scourge of drunk driving, to be able to come up with proof based on other states' activities and what's happened in this state to reduce repeat offenders by 67%, reduce drunk driving deaths by at least at the start 16%. As the program goes on, those numbers will obviously go up. It's when you were testifying, were there any questions against this idea by any of the members on the committees?
Well, members of the committees, fortunately, were at this point were aware of the details that have been worked out, and they just wanted to work out kinks in the bill that may not have allowed this law to be implemented as smoothly as it could. And I think what most of the members of the committee realized when they overwhelmingly supported this bill, and it wasn't just the committee, it was the entire legislature, the Senate, and the Assembly, was that license suspension alone just doesn't work. And I wish it did. And I know it feels good to put that in the law, and it feels good perhaps for a judge to enforce the law by implementing license suspension. But studies have shown over and over again that people continue to drive, and not just a few. Close to 75% of people with license suspensions who are convicted of drunk driving continue to operate their vehicle. At least now we know that if they're going to do that, they will be able to operate it without being drunk, and that's what's important.
Indeed it is. It's a great long overdue step forward with what was a good idea. The Rickey's Law has now been expanded to a greater degree, and if nothing else, it will deter people from drinking and driving, knowing that there are now additional consequences for not if, but when you are caught and when you are convicted. It becomes a costly crime in a lot of ways. And what this idea does now, it prevents deaths, it reduces risks, and it makes the roads safer for everybody on both sides of the equation. It prevents the wannabe drunk driver from injuring people, and it keeps people in other vehicles and on the sidewalks and roads a lot safer. Stephen Benvenisti, thanks so much for being here in Philly's In on this new law.
Well, can I just add one more thing?
Sure.
Being an attorney who sues those drunk drivers, it really protects the drunk drivers as well, because these drunk drivers' lives are ruined when they have a crash that kills someone or seriously injures someone. And when I do a deposition of them in prison, over and over, what they tell me is that they could ever do that night all over again, because the hardest part for them is realizing that because of one mistake that they made, someone is dead and buried, and nothing will change that. So thank you.